Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd-minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I did, yeah.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Hello guys, my name is Kuye, today with me I have two very delectable and highly esteemed with me. First off is Camille. Camille, could you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm Camille Bayou, United supporter every day. Why not support United every day? Also, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
That's what I mean. United supporter, software developer.
Oh, software developer. Nice. And okay, also I have Emmanuel Mordi. Emmanuel, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Rating Zone podcast. Can you tell us?
Thank you very much. Okay, I am Emmanuel. I am a staunch Manchester United supporter, as you already know. And aside being a supporter, I'm jobless actually. But I'm preparing for my master's, okay. Yes, in environmental toxicology. So that's what I'm waiting for.
Okay, sweet. Well, let's get into it. Emmanuel, I want to start with you. What do you think of today's game?
Today's game, I only watched the first half. But from what I watched, it has just confirmed everything I've said in the last few days, that apart from coaching or players' ability, like physical ability, this team has a very big problem, which is the mentality of the team. It is very, very weak. We've seen it time and time again when there's an individual error or something goes wrong in the game and these players can't pick themselves up and push on. Immediately we got that red card, I closed my stream because I knew after that red card, the game was going down. Not because we got the red card and we're one man down, but because the mentality of these players, I don't know. I don't want to call it a loser's mentality, but the mentality of these players are just weak, and I knew they would capitulate, and it happened. By halftime, we're 4-1 down. I opened my stream again to watch the second half. Maybe something will happen. I had to close it again because the way they were playing, it didn't seem like people that were trying to even stay in the game at all.
Did we have spells where we played well or where we dominated all through the game?
I would say before the red card, it seemed like we're going to get back into the game. We saw the Rashford chance, the Greenwood chance. We were creating chances. Martial was making runs. Bruno was picking passes. We were creating chances. But immediately that red card happened, that was the end.
Okay. Camille, yes. He has just mentioned that the mentality of this squad is weak. Now, first off, do you agree with that?
And yes, I do.
You agree with that. So whose fault is it that we have a bunch of scrubs with zero winning mentality, and what can be done about that?
I feel that mentality has to boil down to the coach. That is the coach's problem. Because first things first, that was what he sold to us. The mentality, the United DNA. That was his plan. According to him, before Ole coming in, I knew nothing of any United. I knew of no United DNA. He promised us attacking football. He promised us a lot. But the core of the team, which is the mentality, is weak. He hasn't built it. He pushes to the side of confidence of giving young players confidence going forward and expressing themselves. But I think he also plans for when things go wrong. Because as we have seen today, when things went wrong, we couldn't predict even, there was no chance. We just jogged for 90 minutes and inshallah.
Now, it's one thing to play attacking football and still lose. We've seen the best of teams play attacking football and still lose. What can Manchester United do at this point? Well, first of all, I know that a lot of us fans, there's something that is called haram football, and we have coaches like Jose, Allegri, Simeone, they play haram football. But Manchester United fans, they don't like that kind of football. They don't like that defensive football. What is it? Is what's important? The football, attacking football, or the results?
For me, yeah, the haram football is crap. It's totally nonsense. There's no proper way. There's no right way to play football. There's no proper way to play football. So people saying shit about, saying people saying terrible things about negative football and defensive football, saying it's not the way forward and all. It's nonsense. If it gets you the results that is needed, stick with it. I feel what caused United's issue was the fact that we had a coach that played haram football, and it didn't sit down well with a lot of the United greats, especially the class of 92s and a lot of them. And that affected us in supporting the coach, sticking by him a lot. What I'm driving at is that haram football, if it gets you the desired results, go for it. There's no point in playing beautiful football and ending up in a very terrible place. A lot of teams play beautiful football. For example, Eddie Howe of last season played very good football before the injuries. Nathaniel Fakke of Norwich played very good football before everything captured on it. But if it doesn't get a result, why do it? That's my pick for it.
So now it's result over style of play. Now, you said something about the United greats not accepting the kind of football that we were playing under the former manager. Emmanuel, do you think that... Okay.
Yeah, on that issue, I wouldn't say Mourinho was sacked or he was let go because of the style of play. Or even because of the result, you can say that. Because when we were appointing him, the club knew what we were getting. The club knew we were not going to get attacking football, whatever we call it. The club knew that Jose is a pragmatic man.
Exactly.
And he has pragmatic winning. So I wouldn't say that the style of play did not go down well with the grids. Because appointing him, we knew what we were getting. We let go of Mourinho because of the environment around the club. We were losing from the beginning of the season. We lost to Tottenham at home 3-0. We lost to Wales. We lost to...
One of next match.
We lost to Brighton. We lost...
Was it Brighton? Yeah.
But it was... almost lost to Newcastle. You know, we're having bad results, but he was still not sacked. We're even having bad results before that season. He was still not sacked. Instead, he was given a 3-year contract extension. The problem that came with Mourinho at that point in time was the environment around the club, and the club probably felt it was putting the entire image of the club in a bad light. That is what I feel. That is my opinion on that. So on that issue of the style of play not being down with the grades, I don't agree with that.
Now, I remember on a number of occasions when Paul Scholes would be making analysis and completely antagonize the entire game based on style of play. Scholes and Ferdinand in particular. Now, this is something I'm sure of. They ruled the style of play irrespective of the result. And if we eventually did not win, it was such a... I mean, it's one thing to play negative football and win, you now play negative football and then you don't win, they literally tore Jose Mourinho up. That's why they kept saying, oh, he's finished, football has gone past him, oh, he's a dinosaur and all that stuff. So I would actually have to object to your opinion on that. I feel like, and you know how, in my opinion now, the United greats have significant influence on the things that happen in the club, right? I don't know what position Alex Ferguson still holds, but I mean, he still has an influence. You see, have people Evra, Ferdinand, Scholes. They might not have a position, but the things they say in the media goes a very long way, in my opinion, to tweak one or two things with the decisions that are made, right? So I have a feeling, or I would have to support the motion, that the United greats did have, in quotes, a part to play with the decision that was made based on Jose's type of football. But today it's not about Jose and his type of football, at least not yet. Regarding the manager, do you think that the United greats cover him up? Now, I know that they dragged the former manager based on his style of play, based on the results. Are we seeing the same energy with Ole Solskjaer, Emmanuel?
I would say no. We are not. But I wouldn't say it is totally down to the person. Yes, it plays a part, but it's not totally down to the person. Because you see, when they talk about it most times, it is, we've seen this thing happen over the years. First manager, second manager, third manager. So in a way, the blame would naturally shift away from the current manager. So I wouldn't say we are getting the same energy, but I don't still think that is due to the person that he is.
It's not because it's only that. You're not saying that we're not seeing the same energy as other managers, but you don't think it's because it's Ole, and because
I think it's going to happen regardless of who the manager is now.
What are your thoughts on the reception of, you know, what are your thoughts on Ole in the media? How are people receiving this thing that's going on right now? The way people are approaching his situation, do you think it's different from previous managers? And do you think it's because he's Ole, like he was a Manchester United player and then he had some great moments with us? Do you think that is the reason why he might not be receiving the same energy?
Yes, I feel the media is biased. Because judging from our previous manager and this manager that we have presently, Ole, the media is definitely biased. Very biased. Because there's some times where we played terribly. We played terribly under Mourinho. He got the stick. He got lambasted for it. But the media now, under Ole, when this sort of thing happens, it gets covered up. Probably, what player did do this? What player was not active? This or that. They make up excuses for it, especially the class of 92. So on that note, I feel the media is very biased towards him, and it's not going to help the club. It's not good.
Sorry, I just want to ask something before. Are you saying the media or class of 92? Because if it's the media in general, then you're wrong there.
The class of 92, majorly, how will I put it, is like the only media that I'll say has influence on United, according to what I've seen over the years. So if I say the class of 92, they won at least for a good 55% of the media that affects United. So the media is proper for them.
Do you think the media are just as firm as they were on other managers? Now I'm talking to Emmanuel, not the class of 92 now. Do you think the media in general are firm with Ole as they have been with other managers?
I think they have. Because if after every game, if you go online, you see their talk shows, you see the kind of things they tweet about. Most of them, what you see is Ole is not the man. Ole is clueless. What else? You see different things about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You see them saying he's only in the job because he's a white man. I have seen that before in the same media. So I would say if there's any bias, it's probably coming from the class of 92, like I said earlier. But if it's the media in general, the Sky Sports, the BBC, the ESPN, then he's wrong there because there is no bias. These people eat into Ole like something else. If you watch their talk show,
the Sky Sports. It's Ferdinand and Gary Neville that are usually on Sky Sports.
Reckon is a
mistake. So if it's
their talk shows are different from their pundit show. You know that, right?
Okay.
Their match day talk shows, pundit shows are different from their general talk shows. If you watch their YouTube pages and all that.
Which one carries more weight? Which one do people tend to listen to?
The pundit shows are just during the game. Wait, the pundit shows are during the game and probably immediately after the game. But the main one that leads into the media is the talk shows.
Are you saying that the talk shows have more influence? I mean, more reach, not influence now. The talk shows, do they have more reach than the post-match like studio conversations? Because in my...
Yes, they do, because...
In my opinion, the studio sessions, you know, pre-match, in the match, post-match, I feel like they have more coverage compared to, you know, they're
not on TV now. The ones are usually on TV, and probably people will choose to stream it. The talk shows are uploaded on their media pages,
many people
YouTube,
follow,
not Twitter, follow that Instagram.
Not too many people follow that up. They have to.
Have you checked their views on YouTube? Have you checked their views on
Twitter? I do not know about that.
Do you see how many views they get in these things? The quotes we get during midweek or wherever, where do you think they come from? Do they come from post-match pundit shows?
Sometimes.
No, they come from the talk shows. They don't come from the post-match pundit shows. They come from the talk shows. The Carragher and the rest of them, they come from the talk show. You hardly see Gary Neville in the talk show. It's mostly on
Rekin,
the
Rekin is on the talk show, I think.
Rekin is on the pundit show. You hardly see him in the middle shows.
Mm. Okay. Now, let's get back to the game. Halftime. We saw only... Pretend. He tried to make a change that was supposed to influence the game. Now, he brought in Fred and he took off Matic, right? And then he brought in McTominay and he took off Fernandes. Here's my thought. We're losing by 4 goals and then you removed our DM and our attacking midfielder and you place them with 2 central midfielders. What possibly could be the rationale behind that decision? Manuel, I mean, you saw the game. You saw the first half, but he took off Fernandes and Matic and he put Fred and McTominay. What do you think, or what do you make of that decision?
To be honest, I don't have any defense against that substitution. Immediately I saw it on my Fort Mob app and shouted like, what sort of substitution is this?
Paper.
We are losing. Why are you taking off Bruno? Why are you taking off Matic? Okay, you take off Matic, you bring on Fred. Why are you taking off Bruno? Even if we want to stay back and try and keep the scoreline respective, we should still have a bit of attacking threat. The straw for me was when he took off Greenwood, and I was like, okay. To be honest, I have no defense for his substitutions today. I have no defense.
Now, this is 2020. I mean, his battle is almost over. But I've barely ever seen a football game where a team plays without a DM to cover the back line. You know, and I thought that was like the height of incompetence, you know, in game tactics. Because why don't you have a DM to cover the back line? Right? I can understand that you're trying to, you know, attacking threat, right? Because Fred and McTominay are more attacking players than Matic, I understand. But how do you take off Fernandes? Do you get me? That for me did not make any sense. And then in the end, we conceded two more goals. Let's talk about Maguire 1 second. Camille, this guy is one of our most expensive players. Currently, the most expensive defender in the world. What do you make of his performance now in this game and in previous games? We've considered about 11 goals, right? If I'm not mistaken. So what do you make of his performance, first of all, in this game and then this season?
For this game, I would say I did not watch the match, but I saw the highlights of the goals. I saw the first one and I did not know how to explain, how to even defend him. Normally, I tend to defend Maguire because they tend to pick on him. At times, because he's the most expensive player, expensive defender presently. But I saw the first goal, which he nodded the ball and still landed on the same spot. I was shocked. That was terrible. Apart from that, yeah, Maguire makes mistakes, lots of mistakes, yeah. But put it down to your pundits or every other person. They give you this excuse that, oh, you know that he's not fast. Why did you expect? How would you expect him to be this? You know that he's not the most decent. Why would you expect him to do this? Well, take it back down to the Crystal Palace game, where the first goal came in through Lindelof, through the right flank. They both started over the same position, both Lindelof and Maguire, you're both centre backs. You're both supposed to be on the same line. Your partner, CB, move down the flank towards the corner kick flag, and a cross came in through the middle of the box 18, and this man was nowhere to be found, still behind the ball. And for some reason, people advised us to believe that we should take slacks. Cut him some slacks as usual and let him be, because we know he's slow and the cross shouldn't have come in.
Maguire, now
terrible.
Okay, continue. Are you done?
Well, basically that's the conclusion. It's been terrible this season. We're not
okay
to talk about it.
His price tag determine his expectations,
very
you
much.
Know,
very much, very well.
I don't think it should, but right. It would.
Right. Why do you think it should?
You'd not buy. You'd not
because a player is only worth as much as the club values him. You don't see a player's price doesn't necessarily reflect his ability. So many things goes into the price of a player. How many years he has on his contract? How important he is to his team? So many things goes into the price. So I do not see the price of the player as a direct of his ability. We've seen cheaper players perform well, and we've seen expensive players flop. It shouldn't.
It should. It is what it is. The price tag determines a lot. I do not buy something of 80 million. I expect it to be. Especially working like something of 10 million. I bought you for that price. If I felt you were worth that price and I bought you, you should give me the value of that price. If you're not going to be worth that price, I should buy the die by in first place.
But can I ask a question? Do you think he has not shown that value?
Definitely, he's an improvement. He improved the defense. I cannot lie. He had one of the best, defenses in Europe. He improved the defense. That I cannot lie. We had one of the best defenses in Europe last season. due to Maguire.
Wait, hold on, hold on. Sorry, and I don't mean to be, but we were playing against some Yugoslavian farmers. If we didn't keep a clean sheet, then come on now.
It,
I mean,
it is.
In the league, because we're playing farmers.
No, when you say like we had like a significant, we went up until the semi-finals in Europe, right? But look at our competition. Up until Sevilla, we didn't really have any, you know, any tough opponents that could threaten our defense.
And that's what I'm saying. Let's take Europa out of it. Let's take FA Cup. Let's take League Cup. Let's take whatever out of it. Even in the league, we are not the best defense. We consider the second most in the league. We are in top three for the most clean sheets kept in the league.
That was all due to Maguire. And basically, that was improved a lot by Maguire. Our defense worked.
So Maguire is in you.
It was a
Maguire is an improvement in our defense. But this season,
he has been below par.
Yeah, this season, I'd have to agree with Kami on that. This season, he has not been good enough. Yes.
Now, there is one player that we've always defended. Well, not everybody, but a lot of us have defended a lot. And he's supposed to be our star boy. I'm talking about...
I know who this is.
Paul Pogba. Now, I was, to be very honest, I didn't see Pogba for a significant part of the game. He is one of, you know, so we have times when we argue Pogba is the best midfielder in the world. Pogba is top five midfielders in the world. Oh, he cannot, I mean, what do you call it? De Bruyne cannot lace his football boots and all that stuff. We hype this guy a lot. We defend him. And then most of the time, for me, I'll speak for myself, most of the time, I keep telling people, oh, on a very good day, oh, on his day, he's unplayable. Oh, if he has people beside him and in front of him, he's this, is that. But for how long are we going to... Someone says that every time we're trying to unlock him, now we need Master Key. When is Pogba going to show us what he's worth?
He has a very good excuse for that.
He's been a potential world-class player for 4 years now. Potential. We are not really seeing the potential. And in today's match, I really didn't see Pogba. And if anything, I would have said they should have taken off Pogba instead of Fernandes, because I'm not trying to come and say, oh, he's lazy, Pogba is a lazy player, but I do not really see his input in this game. Right? And I felt like, oh, if they're going, if at all, it was a very, very silly decision to take off Fernandes. But if we are going to take off an attacking player, I would have said the take off Pogba, because I really didn't see his impact in the game. And we've not seen Pogba perform for a while now. Last season he was stricken with injuries, quite all right. But even in the, I mean, you know what? I'm going to throw the question to you guys. What are your thoughts on Pogba?
Speaking on Pogba, this season, I feel judging him on his attacking returns this season or his game generally won't do him too well. I feel, because Pogba is naturally an attacking player. He likes to go forward, likes to play him down the left flank. You letting him sit behind the major creator, the 10, or our so-called 10, the Fernandes, has limited Pogba a lot. That has cut him off. We have not really seen Pogba play what Pogba wants to play. And I feel that has boiled down to the coach. Because when Ole first came in, we saw the best of Pogba. He played him down the left flank. Pogba was making assists, scoring goals for fun. What happened? That is, for this season, Pogba's returns has always been down to the coaches, because the coaches have never allowed him to play where he wants to play. And we also have to think that Pogba has played under Sir Alex Ferguson, one of the greatest coaches in the world. Jose Mourinho, one of the greatest coaches presently. And these two coaches, at one point or the other, one sold him first, the other wanted to sell him and couldn't sell him. Our question is, why did they want to sell him? And why did they feel he's not deserving the team? I feel Pogba's issues, astronomical, but let's end it there for Pogba.
Emmanuel, what are your thoughts of Pogba?
For me, on Pogba, the thing I can say is, this season, like you said, he was not in the game this season. We've not seen anything from him in the game today. I would say this season, aside his free kick in the Carabao Cup, this season he has been nowhere to be found in general. And I don't know, based on this position he's playing, this position, we've seen him play it for other teams and he has excelled at it. And I don't know why, coming to Man United, we are not seeing the same return.
You mentioned that he has not really shown up this season. Should we still be playing him if he's not giving us returns? Now, I'm not saying score goals, I'm not saying assist, but be involved in the game. Track back, make some tackles, do the simple things on the pitch. If we are not seeing that, should we keep seeing him on the pitch? Is it because of his profile that he's playing? We dragged Daniel James by his pubic hair. He's not in the starting lineup today. So, knowing fully well that he's really not good enough and then he's on the sidelines this week, shouldn't we put Pogba on the bench for a bit? What do you think?
Personally, for me, I think it's time for him to sit on the bench.
Okay.
For a few games, it's time for him to sit. Because we can't play you first game, second game, third, fourth, and you are not making any sort of impact on the game. Like you said, let's forget attacking. You are not making passes. You are not defending. You are not doing anything. You are not making take-ons. You are not making interceptions. You are not making blocks. You are giving away needless fouls. You are losing the ball in dangerous areas. You are giving away penalties.
He gave away the penalties against us this evening.
He has given away two penalties. The VAR saved us in the last match.
Okay. So, yeah.
So, for personal, I think it's time for him to probably like two or three games to sit on the bench.
Yeah, I don't mind that. He can come off the bench. But then again, look at the kind of player he is. There is an aura he carries. There is an ego that he works with. This guy is a World Cup winner, one of the most expensive center midfielders in the world. Now, if you put him on the bench, is that not going to cause some rifts in the camp? Like in the thing? What's your opinion on that? Can you put this guy on the bench? I mean, what happens to the squad? He's an influential player in the squad. So if you're benching him,
personally, affect the squad? The long run, to be stupid to bench Paul Pogba now, very very stupid, because Paul Pogba, we know he's a very, very influential player. On his day, can turn teams around. Paul Pogba has less than a year left on his contract, yeah. Benching him at this point would cause too much rift on the camp. Because Paul Pogba, for instance, we bench him, he gets angry, his agent talks too much. He lives in 1 year. The team is going to end up in the mud terribly. So I feel benching Paul Pogba now wouldn't be a very, very good sign. It wouldn't be smart. Speaking to him, gingering him, it's the coach's job. He's the best player on the team. Best player in the team. On any standard, nobody is better than him. So if the coach can't get something out of him now, where we need him the most, it will be terrible for us.
So what you're saying is, even though he's not turning up for us
at this point,
we shouldn't bench him.
Nobody. If we do not have anybody on the bench that's going to give us half of what he's going to give us, half of what he could give us, putting in Fred. Fred is a good player, workaholic, cutting the balls. But what happens when he cuts in the balls and we can't create. Pogba is good at can defend. At the same time, can attack. Give him try in the gamble. Try gamble with him at this point. Threaten him, gamble with him. We cannot lose a player like him due to a bad streak of games caused by the manager.
Okay. We've looked at two players in Pogba and Maguire. We've had reports. First of all, Man U sitting pretty at 16th position on the table. There are reports that we are signing Telles and Cavani. Do you think this is one question? One, is this a significant improvement on our squad? Do you think that these two players coming in can turn our season around? Telles and Cavani.
Tevez, I do not understand why. That man is freaking old. Very old man. I do not know what impact that man is going. I cannot say. I'm not part of the technical team, but that does look like a very smart transfer. And we understand that he has technical pressure.
Why not?
Transfers in this club. So then again, we've not had smart transfers in this club. It's a normal thing.
At this point, it's not. It's terrible. We're different. Money transfers. You thinking about it is terrible for your health, honestly. So, Cavani, yeah, I understand, but Tevez, why?
Hold on. Alex Tevez.
That's me very good, yeah. Sorry, that's what I've been wrong. Pardon me. We play attacking football. We have our fullbacks are Brandon Williams, Luke Shaw, Wan-Bissaka, and Diogo Dalot.
Dalot has gone up.
Yes, he just left now. Okay, X out Dalot.
Yeah.
We have Shaw, Brandon Williams, and Wan-Bissaka.
Shaw too.
Fosu-Mensah.
Please don't call that one.
Fosu-Mensah is a utility player.
That guy is just vibes. No, it's allowed to me. No?
You don't get position. Just leave him out. Continue.
Sure, yeah. He's supposed to be our best fullback. But we ask ourselves, how much does Shaw contribute attacking wise?
He has 6 assists in
that's
6 years.
That is very terrible. No amount of slacks that I'm giving to Shaw, but it can never be enough, bro. That is sick. I never knew the stats, but that is terrible. That Shaw does not cross. He makes runs into the box, but really. Maybe in a match where we are leading terribly, as the defense is really poor, our opponent's defense is really poor. Sure, attacking wise, very terrible. But as a defender, he does well, he plays well, pockets almost everybody that comes towards him. On the other side, there are Wan-Bissaka. That guy, I like him as a defender, but going forward, it's terrible. I felt only as a coach when he had the option of Diogo Dalot. Diogo Dalot, yeah. For as little matches as Dalot has played, I can bet that he has the most attacking, he gives the most attacking returns of all our fullbacks. He gives more crosses, more runs into the box, more runs into the box, more than any of our fullbacks. Why hasn't he been given him a chance? Yes, we say he cannot defend well. Trent Alexander-Arnold, we knew him. He can't defend shit. Put him on pace. Put him. Give him a very good. Give him a good left winger. Arnold is out of the game. He can't catch him. He can't do nothing. He can't influence the game from there. He can't defend. I felt he should have played Dalot on a number of occasions where we needed more attacking returns. Played Dalot, set up your team to defend, to cover for him when he's caught off the ball. Give him the ball, let him play as much as, let him win as much questions as he could have given us, but it is what it is. We have Saka, our prime creator from the right wing, the winning process.
Okay, so yeah, well, that's that. Just before we round up, Emmanuel, what's your take on signing Telles and Cavani? Do you think that these two players can turn our season around?
Ability wise, they can, but they are just two players.
No more Sancho.
If the entire forget that guy, I beg. They are just two players. If the entire team doesn't wake up, I don't think those two players will turn this season around. Because they are just two players.
No. Well, yeah, they are just two players. And for me, I feel like this is a panic buy. Panic buy because I know that Ole has always talked about having a youthful squad and all that stuff, and then here we are signing. Cavani is going to be 34 years old in February. You get me? So we're signing a 33-year-old striker who has been available for free since the transfer window. We are signing him a couple hours to deadline day. You understand? So I feel like this is a panic buy. I don't think we have a manager that has the power to attract the kind of players that we would like. We've been pursuing Sancho since right from when he left Man City. Throughout last season, we were making compilations of him and all that stuff. And then we got transfer window and then we can't even get Sancho. Now, that might be one due to the board. I mean, they have like a major because Dortmund have said this is the amount of money we are requesting. Bring it and the player is yours. And the board have not given him that. But then again, you don't see Sancho forcing a move out of Dortmund. We've had players force a move out of their club because they want to play in a certain club or because they want to play with a certain manager. But we don't have a manager that can attract those kind of players.
Can I talk?
Talk to me.
Tell us first the move, though.
Yeah, I'm talking. Yeah, of course. I read it Bruno. This afternoon. Bruno.
Yes, he did.
Well, I'm not aware. I'm not aware of the Bruno. But yeah, anyways, we have a bunch of players. We have a very tactically inept manager. And our season is almost over before it starts. So, well, it is what it is.
Officially,
he's always in for the sack, Chris.
Wait, hold on. Ole in or Ole out? Emmanuel, Ole in or Ole out?
Ole in now.
Very much Ole out. Okay. That brings us to the end of today's podcast. Thank you guys so much for joining me today. It was an absolute pleasure. I had a good time, had some disagreements, but yes, it is what it is. So until next time, you guys have a wonderful night.
Hope say you enjoy the match.
We don't dribble, oh.
We don't shoot our shots.
We don't tear it.
And we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones.
Tell your friends where they can't see, waiting you save don't see.